Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob, for what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This is the day we working, can you tell me young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob, for what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This is the day we working, can you tell me young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Gracious and merciful Father, we come before you in the name of your Son. We ask you, Holy Father, to please give ear to our prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for blessing each and every one of us with another day of life, allowing us the opportunity, Holy Father, to come together once again, that we may stand before you, that we may minister your word to your people. Holy Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins we committed against you, and that you strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us, Holy Father, in our lives, that we may become more obedient to your word and submissive to your will. And as we stand before you to minister your word, lead us and guide us that, above all things, Holy Father, your truth be brought forth with humility, with sincerity. Holy Father, cleanse us by the blood of your Son, removing all iniquity from us, that we may be worthy, Holy Father, for the task that you have appointed to us. Holy Father, we pray for those who are listening, that you uplift their hearts, their minds, that you lead them and that you guide them by your Spirit, that they may receive your word according to your divine will. Holy Father, we pray for your people whom you have called throughout the four corners of this world, those who are struggling spiritually and mentally, physically. Holy Father, may you bless them with your presence, that they may know, regardless of what they go through in their lives, you will remain with them. For you have said, you shall never leave us nor forsake us. So gracious and merciful Father, I ask you on behalf of your people to help us and increase our faith. We believe in your word, Holy Father. We know that it is the truth. But where we falter, Heavenly Father, give us strength through your Spirit. We humbly and we sincerely ask these things through Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And welcome to Jeremiah 1:10. Once again, we will be continuing our topic, contradictory Bible teachings, tonight. We're going to look at another subject that is controversial among many people today. But before we get into our lesson, I wanted to let everyone know that after tonight's broadcast, we will be taking a break during the festival season, which is upon us. This Sunday night will begin the seventh month, Afanim, or to some, Tishri, going into the first day of the festive season, Zikrun Teruah, which is a memorial of blowing the trumpets. And Jeremiah 1:10 will return on the 26th of October. Now, our topic for today is based on what you hear a lot of people say whenever you confront them about something pertaining to their lifestyle choices or the word in general. And what you find people say, don't judge me. Only God can judge me.
which to some degree is a true statement. And we're going to see some passages where this whole idea was derived from. But in addition, one of the things that we hope to establish, Most High's will be done, is to get a clearer understanding of what the word teaches in regards to judging. Now, the first passage we want to look at, before I get there, I want to encourage you all who are listening to follow along with your Bibles. It could be helpful as well to take a pen, a pad, jot down a few notes so that you can go back in your convenience. You can buy and seeking guidance from the Most High, research these topics that we discuss on this broadcast or any other. First passage we want to look at is in Matthew chapter 7. And basically, this is the idea that fuels the whole concept of only God can judge me, as was stated to some degree, is a truth. The Messiah is actually speaking here. And he states, as a matter of fact, this is included in what many refer to as the Sermon on Mount, starting off with the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. But here he says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judge ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, in this context, what does judging mean? According to the English language, there are three definitions we can look at in regard to judging. The first, to form an opinion about something or someone after careful thought. That's one way you can look at judging. Secondly, to regard someone as either good or bad. And the last one, in reference to law, to make an official decision about a legal case. Now, the words translated in judge in 7:1 and 7:2 of Matthew come from a Greek term, which you will find in number 2:9, and that Greek term is krino, and that term is defined as properly definition for the word to distinguish. Now, when you think about distinguishing something, what is that saying? When we distinguish something, it's simply acknowledging or recognizing something as being different or acknowledging certain characteristics or marks that makes something different. It can apply to being able to discern. Matter of fact, when you go a little further into the definition, it says properly to distinguish, that is, decide. But then it has in parentheses, mentally or judicially. So it depends on the context, in other words, of how the word is being used. It also has, by implication, to try, condemn, punish. Now, when we think about the term and how it's used in the opening passage, Matthew chapter 7, what is it exactly that he's saying? Judge not. Is he telling us that we're not to form an opinion about someone after careful thought? Is he telling us not to regard someone as either good or bad? Is he talking about to make an official decision about a case, legal case? Think about it. Because when you read both verses together, he says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, based on the context of what the Messiah is saying here, he is referring to passing a sentence. He's not referring to us forming our personal opinions to us regarding someone as good or bad. He's referring to official decisions being made towards or against an individual, which is not our responsibility. Depending, and I want to use that term or that first clause, it is not our responsibility. I want to use that loosely. And when I say dependent, I want to put emphasis on that because of some of the things that we're actually going to find that the Bible teaches in regard to judging. Many passages that a lot of folks seem to overlook. And one of the things that we as Bible students and Bible believers have to come to understand, when it comes to the word of the Most High, we cannot pigeonhole a particular verse and run with it. But what we have to do, we have to allow the Most High to teach us from the beginning to end regarding any subject matter that you take. With currently, we're dealing with judging. Okay? Now, I'm going to read a couple other passages to you. Matter of fact, before I go there, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2, the word translated as judgment is a different word. So let's see what this word is. Number 2917. So when it said, "For with what judgment ye judge," the word in number 2917 is krima, krima. Now, what's interesting about it, and all the different words that we're going to look at tonight that have been translated as judge or judging in some way, shape, or form, what you're going to see is that they all derive from number 2919. But in the case of the word krima, it means a decision. In other words, for with what decision you judge, you shall be judged. Clearly showing that the context that he's using this word, judge not that you be not judged, is in reference to making an official decision. And what is a decision? Think about our court system. When you go before the judge, think about the setup. Of course, you have two opposing parties. You have the prosecutor, who's basically making the accusation against the person being charged with the crime. Then you have the defendant, whose responsibility is to do just that, defend the person charged with the crime. You have a jury. The jury's responsibility is to listen to the evidence from both sides, weigh the evidence to determine the innocence or the guilt of the individual. And keep in mind, in a court that uses or utilizes a jury system, it is the jury who determines the innocence or guilt of a person. Now, after the innocence or guilt of an individual is found, it is the judge, keep that in mind, it is the judge's responsibility to now issue the sentence. In other words, if the person is found guilty, how are we going to execute judgment? In other words, how are we going to punish this individual? That's what we don't supposed to do, okay? Because the scriptures is clear. And matter of fact, I believe it's in Isaiah. Let's see if we can find this passage. And any brother want to add or build on what was said at the moment until I find this passage? Give me one second. And basically, I'll tell you what the passage says. And then when I find it, I'll give you a reference to where you can find it at. It says that Yahweh is lawgiver, Yahweh is judge, Yahweh is king. And I wanted to put that out there because when it comes to these three branches, actually, you're talking about the foundation even of the United States government. Say it again.
Isaiah 33:22.
Okay. 33:22 says, again, for Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king. He will save us. In other words, when it comes to passing judgment, there's only one true judge. But what we're going to see, and we're going to say that loosely, okay, because what we're going to see according to the word, there's a particular system that he has in place. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, okay? But before we go there, let's go back to some other ideas that we can find. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, the Messiah continues. So let's see the thought behind what he's discussing now. Now, we already see from the use of the word judgment, which means a decision, that he's talking about the term judge in the context of making a decision. So when he gets to verse 3, it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now, when you think about the comparison here between a mote and a beam, a mote you can look at as being something like a splinter, whereas a beam you can look at as being just that, a 2x4. So you so concerned about the splinter in your brother's eye, and you got a 2x4 in your own eye. This is the thought. And we also want to keep in mind who he's talking to, which is another thing that when it comes to the Holy Scripture, a lot of people negate. We have to remember the context of the people who the Messiah is referring to. So, he goes on in verse 4. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" So what was going on, and this is what we need to understand, what was going on, judgment was being passed against people by people who themselves needed to be judged. In another scenario, you have a group of Israelites who bring this woman who was caught in adultery. And what they said, according to the law of Moses, this woman is supposed to be stoned. Now, one thing that people got to keep in mind, within the law of Moses, you had laws, statutes, and judgments. See, what the judgments are, the Creator said, if this thing happens, this is what's supposed to take place. Okay? So the judgment for somebody caught up in adultery was, so this is what they did. They were judgment on this woman caught in adultery. What the Messiah said to them was this. He didn't disagree with them. He actually agreed.
That's right.
According to the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned. But then before you do that, and this is the point of here. This woman, she got a splinter in her eye. But you got in your eye the 2x4. So he who was without sin, let him cast the first stone. See, what he meant by that is this. Once you cast that stone at this woman, you might as well get right in line behind her, because you just as guilty as she is. Because the judgment that you're going to meet towards her, guess what? It's going to be given towards you as well. Because you're not free and clear. You too have committed sin. That's why he goes on a little further. When we go back to Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 5, "Thou hypocrite." What does that mean? When you look the term hypocrite up, it means that you are playing a part. And you find that a lot with a lot of folks out here. You find that a lot of your harshest critics, so to speak, they're not leading the holy role of life you think they lead. They got a lot of, quote-unquote, skeletons in their closet, so to speak. But when it comes to looking at what everybody else outside of themselves are doing, they're very harsh when it comes to judgment. Pertaining to themselves, he refers to them as being a hypocrite. So he goes on, he says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye." In other words, you need to really focus on getting your own life together. And that's one of the things as believers we really need to stop doing. And we don't want what somebody else is doing to be the focus of why we live. Now, some people, they just go around with the microscope or the magnifying glass trying to find wrong else, like not even trying to clean their own backyard up. way a believer is supposed to live. Why? Because when it comes to walking in this way, when it comes to obeying the voice of the Creator, I can only control one individual, that is myself. I need to make sure that I am obeying the voice of the Most High. I need to make sure that I'm being submissive to His will, opposed to letting somebody else know the wrong that they're doing. Now, we're going to address that a little further down as we get to our lesson. But I think people need to really focus on what they need to do, which is why the Messiah said what he said. Thine own eye. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You hear that? So in other words, get yourself right first. And then if you see, Brother Paul, he said it like this. If you see a brother overtake fault, he said that we should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not in the sense that you're going to bring them before somebody and say, according to the law, they're supposed to be stoned. That's not always the first course of action, which is one of the things the Messiah came to establish. In one place, he said, he didn't even come to judge the world or condemn the world. He came to save it. No different. But you got a lot of cats out there who are quick to the draw when it comes to issuing some type of judgment, you see? And you see it every day. If you live in the inner city and you got Hebrew Israelites posted on the corner, they quick to pass judgment on everybody, not realizing they got a big 2x4 in their eye, and they worry about the little splinter in everybody else's. And why is that? Because they supposed to know, and that's what makes it bad. They supposed to know the truth. Sometimes having certain information is detrimental, especially when you are required to do what you have now come to be aware of. And a lot of times, they're not doing everything they're supposed to do, especially when the focal point of the word of Yah is to love, you see. But let's get back to another example. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 13, this is again Brother Shaul. He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. I can get one of the brothers to look that word up.
It's 29:19.
And the both words?
Yes.
Okay, so he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Listen to that. In other words, he wants us to focus on making sure that we are not being a hindrance to one another, opposed to, you know, pointing the fingers at one another. In other words, if you do find out that somebody's doing something wrong, extend a hand to help that brother, to help that sister, instead of condemning them. This is what Paul is saying. But we're so quick to want to condemn everybody. You see?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yahushua said it this way. And if you go through the scriptures about judging, you will find that there is a system that the Creator has given his people to settle matters. And when you look out into world in the world today, where is that system? Or you're believing in the other gospel? And that's one of the things that bothers me when I look out at the world today, that everybody want to claim to be a Bible believer, but they are not walking in the Bible.
Amen.
They are not holding on to what thus saith the Most High.
Amen.
They're not doing it. Everybody came up their own system of belief, own rules, how they going to regulate, and at the same time must be the Most High's people.
Right.
It can't be that way. Throughout the corporate world, throughout even some Israelites believe that we don't have to keep the Most High law. Talk about that. Do we have to keep the Most High laws, then they have the same sentiment. How the Israelites believe that because we are here in this land, we have to keep the laws. I had a big because they asked the question. And you had a lot of different opinions on a lot of different, but we don't. Holy law in this the comments like, man, Israel dumb as doorknobs when it comes to it. I'm sorry to say it like that, but they are dumb as doorknobs when it comes to his word. So I sent them Ezekiel 11:16. That's what I put on it. 11:16, where I'm going to paraphrase it for you in your own time. It talks about Yahweh said, I'm going to send you Gentiles, but there I'm going to be a sanctuary to you. What? What you? How you? He going to send us there and be there with us.
Man.
I'm going to be a sanctuary. I'm going to be your setup there. If you are not keeping his law, statutes, and judgments, so I did Deuteronomy 4:4 started verse. This is your wisdom. So wherever you at, if you got me as your sanctuary, you are wise. You are a great nation. The Most High must be with you. That's why he gave them to us. So when we among the Gentiles, they can see and say, oh, what a wise person. But why, but if we say that we don't have to keep the laws, then we won't be wise. We won't be set apart. We won't be looked at as the children of the Most High. So he gave us a system. And for every person out here who say that you do not supposed to, quote unquote, judge or pass judgment or pass a rule, listen to what the Master said, Yahushua said. We in Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained back your brother. Same thing with the brother just said.
Man.
Don't pass them all out in the public.
Man.
Go to the brother.
Man.
Show him his fault. He sinned against you. He is out there doing something he's you're not supposed to be doing. So go talk privately. And if he listens, then you got your brother back. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two more with you at the mouth of the word may be established.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some other brothers, some other sisters, if whoever way is going, get some people involved that it has the right mind. Don't go to your cousin. Don't go to your uncle or nobody else outside of the faith.
Mm.
Stay within the faith. And you won't find out why I'm saying that once I finish reading. And go. If Big Mama don't know how to judge or pass rule by the law, statutes, and judgments of the Most High, just go to your cousin, your best friend, your sister, any of them. If they do not know about the law, statutes, and judgment of the Most High, they are not a good person to pray in. We are not trying to get somebody to be on our side. It's right. It ain't about right with one another. It's about us being right with the Most High. If he be 18:17, to them, to the assembly. If you refuse, also, to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. That means excommunicate him, get rid of him. He's a sin, he's a cancer. He do not want to do right. So that is the way that people of the Bible, or people that call themselves believers, supposed to settle a matter between brother and sister and brother, however it is. That's how we supposed to settle matters. And they try to stand up for the whole congregation. No, you don't do that when you say take them before the assembly. We know as Israelites, when you take him about the count, those things you must know. Israelites were like that. No, 2000. We know these things are done in secrecy, and decency. Yahweh's is always done in decency and order. And there's several other cases within the scriptures. I'll find a case about when Paul and Barnabas and brother John, what was that brother?
Mm-hmm.
What was the leader of the congregation?
Oh, Brother James.
Brother James.
Mm-hmm.
He had to pass rule.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a Sanhedrin set up since the days of Moses. Sanhedrin,
right.
There has been elders set up in Israel,
right,
since the days of Moses. And when the Messiah came, he ain't changed that.
Right.
So why aren't you churches out here going by that same judgment?
Right.
Y'all got church laws, bylaws in the church, that you want people to uphold, your pamphlet, your booklet, but that's not what the Most High set up. Yahushua set up a 70 and 12, just like Moshe set up a 70 and a 12.
That's right.
There is a way of passing sentences.
Amen.
Within the assembly of Yah, within
Amen.
The church, quote unquote church,
that's right,
of Yah.
Right.
There is a way to do that. He didn't leave that up to us. And when we find that in the book of Acts and read that, that James took on the same assembly that the Messiah left.
Amen.
Now he was the head. He made a decision for the church.
Amen.
And I'm quite sure one of the brothers going to bring up when Brother Shaul, he got on them about going downtown to those wicked judges.
Amen.
And not be going before the elders. There's a system set up.
Amen.
You go,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Shalom, family. I'm reading from James 4:12, and the scripture says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speak evil of his brother and judge his brother speaks evil of the law and judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who are able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another?"
Again, the world will have you believe that if you try to keep the Father's law, is legalism. That's what they put in the scriptures now. You know, some of your new translations going to have in there legalism. Some of them trying to say, we govern ourselves by the law, and you're trying to be legalistic. How foolish is that?
Amen.
When you sit back and think about it, how foolish is that? How else is a kingdom governed? It governs this world.
Amen.
You walk around, you don't. System.
Amen.
I'm not understanding that logic. I did. Because Satan has ministers.
That's right.
And he has put them out there to let people think that if you're trying to keep the laws of God, you're keeping legalism. You're being legalistic. No, the Messiah just showed us.
Amen.
That was a legal court system he just went through.
Right.
A legal court system that the and it's so. See, that's what you become. See, that's
Amen.
Why they said they were lawyers. They translated in some scriptures, they called them lawyers. They're absolutely right.
Amen.
When you study the word of the Creator, you're becoming a lawyer. And know who you defended? Yourself.
Amen.
That's who you're defending.
Amen.
With the help of the Messiah.
Amen.
Because he is the high lawyer.
Amen.
He sit up there and he passes, not judgment, he pleads your case every day, just like a lawyer do.
Amen.
But what we do, we judge ourselves. So you have to become legalistic in the mind, in the eyes of the Father, and understand his law, statutes, and judgment, so you won't.
Amen.
You don't want to go outside of his law, statutes, and judgment. Why? Because you will become a sinner. Father showed me when he talked about in Matthew 5:17 that you're going to be the least in the kingdom. He showed me what that meant, that you're going to be called a criminal in the kingdom.
Right.
You will be a criminal. You walking around here thinking that you are law-abiding citizen and you righteous? No, you are a criminal in the kingdom. They looking down and say, oh, look at them criminals down there. There's only a few law-abiding citizens down here. Only a few.
Amen. And we want to continue, you know, building on that point as the brother was bringing out regarding the whole system that the Most High has established. And as he was saying, one of the problems in regard to the whole concept, don't judge me, only God can judge me, this is said predominantly by people who, one, really don't understand the Bible, and because they don't understand the Bible, two, they don't recognize the system that has already been established since the time of Moshe, as the brother brought out. Matter of fact, even when you look at King Solomon, who was given a choice, and one of the things that King Solomon chose, when you read his story, he chose wisdom so that he would be able to judge the people. That's the reason why he wanted it, so he could be a judge of the nation of Israel. But another passage you want to look at, Banshee, everything that brother was bringing out, and he alluded to this in his statement, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is New Testament, mind you. This is New Testament where Brother Shaul is giving this instruction here. Now, he says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? See, what the, as the brother said, what the assemblies today don't have is a proper government. And the only way you can have a proper government, just like the brother said, every church out there has their own bylaws. They make those up. One of the things, because we're in the process of doing some things ourselves, and they ask you certain questions when you're filling out these applications, but one of the things that I am not going to do is just rewrite the Bible, because that's basically our bylaws. From Genesis to Revelation, that's what we believe, that's what we practice. There's nothing else in addition I can give you to that. So if you want to know the bylaws, I'm just going to tell you Genesis to Revelation. That's where they are. You see? But you go to any church today, they're going to show you some bylaws and guarantee the founder of the church and maybe the board that they established, 9 times out of 10, nothing in those bylaws coming from the scriptures. But the Most High has a system in place, like the brother was saying. So he says, again, verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do we understand what that is? We were called, and the brother couldn't have said it any better, we were called to be lawyers. And what that simply means, we know his word, which they refer to as the law, but more specifically, instruction. We have now become so acquainted with these instructions now that we're able to make certain decisions. We're going to see that by the word. See, the problem when it comes to actual judgment, which is why one thing was said loosely in regard to Yahweh is judge. He is judge. Set up a system on how he's going to do it. And that system was based on people who were chosen for the task. It says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, the word translated as judge in chapter 6 and verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, the first two times when it says, do you not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged, that's our word 2919. Same term. But then when you get to this other word here, it says, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, this term is number 2922. And that word, and when you hear what you're going to get an idea of what term in our language is derived from it. But it's criterion. Criterion, number 2922. And it's a derivative of another word, which I'll give you that number 2923. And guess which word number 2923 is derived from? Our focus. 2919, a judge. So the word criterion, which is where we get our term criteria from, a rule of judging, or by implication, a tribunal. So what he's talking about, again, same idea. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Hold on, Brother Shaul, because we got a difficulty now. In one place, he is saying, judge not that ye be not judged. And then you got in another place, Brother Shaul co-signs on that by saying, let us not judge one another anymore, but judge rather this. But then in this place, he's talking about he's asking a question rather, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He already said, do you not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, you see? So when it comes to judging, there's something else we're going to see about that. Well, let me finish this passage out. Know ye not that we shall judge angels, verse 3. How much more things that pertain to this life? Listen to that. He's saying like this. There's a time coming when the angelic beings who went contrary to the ways of the Most High will be judged. Saints, Israel, you're going to be judging these angels. If you are going to be responsible for that level of judgment, how much more things pertaining to this physical realm? That's what he's saying. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, now this is verse 14. Now the natural man, and it's very important that we get that. Now the natural man doesn't receive the things of Yah's spirit. Very important that we grasp that idea right there because of what we learn in Romans 8:7. He says that the carnal mind is similar to saying the natural man, that the carnal mind is enmity, meaning in opposition to the Most High. Then he goes a little further to tell us why. It is not subject to the Torah of the Most High. That's why the carnal mind is an enmity or opposition. Now, when he says this in 1 Corinthians 2:14, now the natural man doesn't receive the things of Yah's spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Think about it, as the brother was just explaining. Now, what the churches are saying, whenever you mention the law of the Most High, they would attack on the term legalism. But whenever people attack that term onto it, here's my question. What's governing your life? Like the brother said, everybody talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Messiah. That's what the gospel is, the good news, that the kingdom of Yah is coming. If you have a kingdom, see how we say kingdom in our language is government. When you talk about a government, you're talking about an establishment that is governed by rules. What governs the life of a Christian?
The term legalism means excessive adherence to law. How do you excessively adhere to a law? Either you obey it or you don't. With the whole term legalism, it's just something for people to just throw out there to try to confuse you, okay? If the stop sign says stop, if you don't stop, you broke the law. That's all to it. The rolling stop is not a stop. You can argue that point all you want, but the word stop means to come to a complete, it means stop moving forward. Motion is concluded. That's what the word stop means. If you do anything outside of that, you have broken the law. So they can give you a ticket for that. Why? You didn't obey the law. You didn't adhere to the law. So what the word legalism means is to excessively do that. You cannot excessively obey a law. Either you obey it or you don't. That's all to it. So when they throw these terms out there, see, what they're trying to do is say this. You love that law so much that it don't make a difference that what, and I'm going to use the JC, It don't make a difference what JC did for you, because those laws are gone. They're this, that, and that. See, when they throw those terms out there, what they're doing is literally attacking the word of the Most High. Why do you do these things? Why are you keeping these feast days? Why are you eating kosher? Why are you doing that? Why? Because that's what the law prescribes. That's what he said do. You cannot excessively eat holy. You cannot excessively love your brother. Either you love him or you don't. There is no, everybody want to play this gray area, and that's what that term does. You know, it plays a gray. It put doubt. That's why they did it, to give you some wiggle room. So, you know, you got the whole thing with what they term in Judaism fences. You know, that's a form of legalism. So, the word said. In the beginning, when Yahweh told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree, somehow the woman got it in her head that she was not supposed to touch the tree. If you would have kept on going that further down the line, it might have gotten supposed to look at the tree. That's what it means. That's the legalism of it. But Yahweh just said, don't eat from the tree.
Amen, right.
So when you start adding all this stuff to it, it forms doubt, it gives wiggle room, and it brings in sin. Because that's the whole point of it. You either you obey the law or you don't. You can't excessively do that.
Amen. And that's to continue with that point, my brother, which is an excellent point. When you talk about Judaism, and when it comes to the quote-unquote Old Testament, many people see rabbinic Judaism as the way that Israel actually practiced. No, it was not. See, one of the problems, when you look at the life of the Messiah, one of the problems that he had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees of their day was just that, legalism. And the legalism in the sense that they added to the word. That's what they did. That's why he said in one place, you make void the commandments of Yah by your own tradition. So when people think about the ways of the Most High in connection to the Torah, they think that, oh, that's the way the Jews did. No, that's the reason why they believe that is because they have a lack of understanding. What the Messiah was doing was teaching them to go back to what thus saith Yahweh, opposed to what this rabbi says and that rabbi says, which is what pretty much runs modern-day Judaism today, be it Orthodox or conservative or Reform, etc. You see, he was trying to get people back to the simplicity of the word. And the other point the brother was making, the reason why they tacked that legalism on, they don't want to do it, and I hope everybody got that. They don't want to keep the festivals.
That's right.
They don't want to keep the dietary laws. Those things they say we done away with. So when you run across people who are keeping it, then they want to say, oh, you excessively keeping the word. And as the brother said, you can't do that. That's foolishness. Excessive. Either you do it or you don't. You know? And keeping on, another passage that ties into the whole idea that we are in fact supposed to do some form of judging. And one of the things I want to say, you have to be qualified to do that, which is why when we look at now the natural man doesn't receive the things of Yah's spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't know them because they are, again, spiritually discerned. You see, now if the ways of the Most High are spiritually discerned, what that implies is that the person who is able to discern them has to have the Holy Spirit. Now, look at what he says next. In verse 15, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. You hear that? Now, this is the same brother Shaul, being led by the same spirit, the spirit of the Messiah, to say this.
So there's an understanding that has to come about with this whole concept of judging. He says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged by no one. Now, the word translated judged here, find in number 350 in your Greek section. Now, again, this is a combination, compound word. And one of the compounds is tuanwanda. All of the words that you find used translated as judge have some connection to our original term, number 2919, krino. Okay, now another passage to emphasize what he just said here. But he who is spiritual judges all things. This comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And what I want to do, I'm going to focus on the first clause of verse 16 and the last clause of verse 17, which a lot of people then misconstrued and misinterpreted. But this is what he's saying simply. Let no man therefore judge you. Now, we already seen the natural man don't receive the things of Yah's spirit. That's why he said, don't let no man judge you. So Brother Arial was saying, you can't go to Big Mama and ask her for her advice. You can't go to any relative or family member if they don't have the proper criteria. You have to be qualified to be a judge in the household of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that a lot of folks be going to, they not qualified, which we're going to see.
So where did this whole idea come from? Back in Exodus, in chapter 18,
mm-hmm.
you have Moses who was sitting judging the people all day long. And his father-in-law pays him a visit. He says, son, what you doing? You can't do this. This is not good that you bear this all on your own. And this is the advice that he gives him. And starting in verse 19, Exodus chapter 18, verse 19. He says, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and Elohim shall be with thee. Be thou for the people towards Elohim, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Elohim. Verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way when they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, so in addition to all that, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of 50, and rulers of 10. So this was your qualifications. You had to be a man of truth. You have to hate covetousness. And this is how you became a judge in the household of Israel. So a lot of people who are, quote-unquote, judges in the household of Israel, in the household of Jesus, in the household, are they following this criteria? You know, and then you wonder why so much crap is going on in a lot of these places. Because they putting wrong people within the system, all right? And they have them judging it. Verse 22, it says, and let them judge the people at all seasons, all the time. Plain and simple. All day long, these men, these rulers over 50, tens, hundreds, and all that, have to judge. So people are getting judged by other people, right? And say, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for them, and they shall bear the burden, so shall it be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with thee, right? So that happened. Now, a little bit later on in the story, Yahweh goes to Moses. He says, take some of the honor that's on you and put it on these elders. Put it on them. And everybody started prophesying. It was a couple elders that didn't come up to the camp and prophesy. So the honor the honor that was on Moses got transferred onto the people who were the judges. So that spiritual man gets to judge everything, as what Paul was writing about. but yet he's judge of nobody. Why? Yahweh's with him. But who's going to judge Yahweh? Who's going to judge him? You know? So you have to go to somebody with the proper criteria. That's your credentials. Yahweh is with you. That spirit has to be on you in order for you to be a judge. Why? You're not going to give the right rulings if you don't have it.
Right.
Moses taught them the law first. That's what he did. And then that spirit went upon them. So you have to have that in order to judge.
Right.
You just can't go to divinity school and say, well, now I know some stuff.
Right.
It's not. It don't work like that. It don't work like that with the Most High.
Man.
He doesn't honor that. Okay? That's what Paul was talking about with the proper credentials. Here you go, Rocky.
Hallelujah. And just following through, like the brother said, back during the time of Moshe, it was established as a part of the system that the Creator gave to Israel that there should be. Now, and just going back to finish out this passage in Colossians 2:16-17, the first clause in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you. Then he goes on to name several things that they're not supposed to make that judgment. Oh, and the word judge, by the way, number 2919, our original term. Let no man therefore judge you. Then when we go down to verse 17 in the last clause, it says, but the body of Messiah. See, and this is what they did to support their whole concept of the legalism and not being under the law. The translators, they added in the King James Version the little word is, but the body is of Messiah. See, it's written in italics because that's the translator's addition to the word. But when you remove that, then you get the clearer concept of what Brother Shaul was saying. Let no man therefore judge you, but the body of Messiah. Amen.
That is the one who will qualify. Those are the ones who are the spiritual ones who judge all things, yet themselves are judged by no one.
Right.
You see, this is the standard that has been set up. Now, what you find when people say, well, don't judge me, only God can judge me. You know why they say that? Because they don't want to be called out on the wrong that they're doing. That's the only reason they say that. But see, let's talk about that now. Because one of the things that the Most High said that his people are supposed to do is let folks know when they're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
He said, this comes from Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Now, some of my brothers, they kind of misconstrue this passage, you know. But simply put, cry aloud. When he said that, that doesn't mean literally you got to be yelling in somebody's face. That's just me. He's saying speak up. But some people take it literally and think they got to yell and scream at folks. That's what they be doing on them corners. He said, cry aloud, fear not. Listen to that. In other words, see, why does he say spare not? Consider your child. You see your child going over towards the electrical outlet, and he want to put this little paper clip that he picked up and stick it in there. And you may call out to them, you know, but you know how. If you had kids, if you worked with kids and seen them as infants, you know how they are. Very inquisitive, you know. They got a lot of curiosity in them. So they're going to keep going over there until eventually they're going to stick that in there. But what we oftentimes do as parents, we want to give them some strong encouragement and incentive not to do that. So what do? We don't spare them. That means we may have to tap them hands, tap them legs, but we have to issue some form of discipline and let them know, I don't want you to do that. It's not because you hate them. It's because you love them. That's why, matter of fact, the scripture says, you spare the rod, you spoil the child, so to speak. It may not say that verbatim, but he says that along the lines of, if you withhold correction from that child, you see, basically what you're showing them is that you hate them. So what he's saying is this. Cry aloud. This is what he's telling. Spare not. Don't be worried about how they feel. If somebody's doing something wrong, you need to let them know so they can start doing right. He says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob
their sins. When you look up the word show, it means to make manifest by announcing. So when you go up to a brother or you go up to a sister, you're not judging them when you tell them what they're doing wrong. You are simply doing what the word of Yah said to do. He says in another place, and this is, interesting one. In Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 7, he says, "But Yahweh said unto me, say not, I am a child." See, Jeremiah, he had issues. He was a young man being called into his ministry. But he had some issues because he was young. And one of the things during that time, which you had, you look in the world today, this has totally disappeared among many. Respect for the elders. You see, Jeremiah had respect for the elders. But one of the things the Creator wanted him to, hey, don't worry about that. When you think about as far as elders, ain't nobody out there older than me, pretty much. He says, "But Yahweh said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." This is what people got to realize. Sometimes what he commands us to speak is something that you may not want to hear.
That's right.
But those words will encourage you to choose life. He says, verse 8, "Be not afraid of their faces." He said the same thing when he established the judges back during the time of Moses, because he didn't want us to have any fear when it comes to speaking his word, knowing that we're going to meet opposition. He says, verse 9, verse 8, let me finish that. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Think about that. He is calling his people. See, the reason why he refers to Israel as being a light to the Gentiles, because Israel has been given his word, and his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And because Israel has the word, Israel has also that responsibility, like the brother said earlier. When you go among the Gentiles, that's not the time to shut down and not keep the word. That's the time you're supposed to keep the word, like the Messiah said, "Let your light so shine that men may glorify not you, but your Father who is in the heavens."
In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, starting at verse 6, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, of the other gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thou pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people." So, yeah, you snitch. Yeah, you tell people that they're doing wrong. And when they say only God can judge me, they're in error. Because if they're enticing someone or trying to get you to do wrong, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to make others aware of that. No, I'm not dealing with you, and nobody else should deal with you. You know, Yahweh talks about how he hates people, hates the man who runs towards foolishness, who has, they fast to run the mission. He hates that. And we don't want the Most High hating us. But we do so many things to make the Most High hate us, you know, namely, by not pulling the covers off of people, That's why he says, no, you don't conceal him. Don't hide the fact that this brother out here trying to get you to serve other gods, trying to take you away, and he's going to take others away. No, he said, you're supposed to be the first one to open your mouth.
That's right.
And then everybody else afterwards. But once you know, you have a responsibility to open your mouth and judge the matter. That's what you're doing. You're pulling the covers off of them. You have to do this. You know, so many people, and I dare say that's one of the biggest problems in the black community, is that we don't open our mouths when we see stuff. We know Pookie and Ray Ray doing all this stuff, and we know a lot of people know who kills who.
Amen.
A lot of people know who sells what and who does this and who does that, but because it ain't affecting them directly, they don't care. That's the biggest problem in the black community. You know, they don't want to step up to the plate, but they want to complain, want to say what's wrong and this, that, and another. You know, but different subject. We supposed to judge. You know, a lot of the problems will go away when we start doing what we're supposed to do.
Man.
Who we are. And I mean, there are other passages we can get into to basically substantiate a lot of what we said over the course of our session tonight, and add to what we've spoken on thus far, feel free. But in regards to judging, the whole idea, one, when the Messiah made that statement, and even when Brother Shaul made that statement, what he's referring to is that we shouldn't pass sentence on an individual. And we shouldn't do that. Okay? As believers, we shouldn't do that. And I want to make that clear. Because one of the other points that we really wanted to show, according to the word and according to the structure that the Most High established, starting with Brother Moshe, there is a system of judges in place. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. You have a whole book entitled Judges,
right,
showing how the Creator brought judges to the forefront to lead Israel whenever they went astray. It's very clear that that was a significant part of the lifestyle of an Israelite during those times, and it should be even to this day, you know. But one point that I wanted to close with, unless anybody has anything they want to add, is something else that Brother Shaul gave. This is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. And he says, for if we would judge ourselves, what that means is this, and the word judge here comes from number 1252, which again, another compound word, which again also includes number 2919. But this one, what's interesting about it, how it's composed. The first part is dia, and that's number 1, 2, 2, 3, and that is a term denoting separation. But then our term number 2919, crino, means to distinguish. So you have this idea of separating thoroughly with the word diakrino. So it said, if we would separate thoroughly, you see, that means we have to put some work into it. You can compare this, what he says here, with another place where Brother Shaul says that we should examine ourselves to see whether or not Messiah Yahusha be in us. Examine yourself. See, you shouldn't worry. Matter of fact, Rabbi taught years ago, if you feel as though a message going forth is stepping on your toes, that means you got to get your life together. You see? That's all that means. So we have to take that opportunity, like Brother Shaul said. He said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Think about that. You ain't got to worry about somebody else coming up to you if you in the mirror constantly checking your own self. See, Brother Yaakov, Brother James talked about that.
He said, many of us, what we do, we go to that mirror, we look in that glass, we see a little smudge, and we walk away like ain't nothing wrong with us. We don't change it. But that's what we need to start doing. Start focusing on making those changes. Brother and I, we were talking about revolution. Everybody talk about revolution, revolution, revolution. You know? And when they think about revolution, when they talk about revolution, everybody talking about it, you know, the government, the system. Matter of fact, brother showed me a website or something, maybe it was a post on Facebook or something. And they was basically talking about overthrowing the government of Baltimore City. And they were going to call it Government City and all this type of stuff, you know. But and they looking at all of that, but and when I think about those types of suggestions in regard to revolution, first thing the Creator puts on my mind, what is the mindset of every individual that wants to do that? And what he means by that is this. Do they have the mindset of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, or are they walking in their carnality? Because when they turn over this government system, this is what nobody wants to think about. All you're going to do is take down one group of corrupt people and put a whole other group of corrupt people in there. I don't care if you call it Tubman City or whatever. That don't mean it's going to be a righteous government. But the reason why corruption exists is because of this same human nature, which the law and the statutes and the judgments of Yahweh, if we took heed to them, we wouldn't have it. But the reason why that human nature exists is because of we are rejecting the nature and the mind of the Creator who gave us life. That's what the problem is. But nobody wants to turn that over. Everybody wants to look outwardly and point the finger and blame the system, not realizing the system is doing exactly what it's in place to do. It is working properly. It is functioning according to plan. But what we don't realize is that's something we need to do as far as revolution goes. So when you read something like this, Brother Shaw was saying, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, and here's the other piece to it. See, when you pulled up, okay, and you are charged with a crime, listen to what he says. We are chastened of the Most High. Now, why is that so significant? Nobody wants that. When you were a kid, all children went through it. You did not want to get that belt. I don't care how old you are. You didn't want that discipline. But one of the things that you come to realize when you get a little older, the reason why that, and I'll say in most cases, and I'll use that loosely because some people were abusive. Primarily, the reason why that discipline was issued out was because your parents loved you. And this is what he's saying right here. Because in another place, the scripture said that Yahweh chastens those whom he loves. Amen. So when we read this, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Most High that we should not be condemned with the world. Think about that. So sometimes he's going to send one of his servants, the prophets, up on you. He's going to send one of his judges to condemn what it is. And let's make this clear, too, because this is something else that a lot of people are getting misconstrued out in the world. And I'm going to say it this way. One of the topics that you oftentimes hear us talk about is the LGBTQ movement, right, which is totally contrary to the ways of the Most High. It is an abominable lifestyle, period. I don't care what they say. But as a servant of the Most High, what I'm not going to do is mistreat those brothers and sisters. You know why? Because they are just brothers and sisters, in spite of the lifestyle choice that they made. You see, you got a lot of brothers out there, sisters maybe even, who come down hard on that group, but the neighborhood gangster that they cool with. You see, in the eyes of the Creator, that one sin is not greater than another sin. They all equal, because guess what? They all going to be in the exact same line, going to the exact same place. So they equal in the eyes of the Most High. So we don't mistreat them. He says in one place,
by loving kindness have I drawn thee.
That's right.
You see, even when it comes to the sinner, and a lot of people like to thought that, well, Jacob he loved, Esau he hated. See, that's taking one scripture and running with it. But when we look at the scope of the whole word, the question we have to ask, why did he hate Esau? It was because of the lifestyle he chose. And when you understand that, it wasn't the man, it was Esau had repented. Guess what? He would have been in good favor with the Most High. That's all it would have took. And on the flip side of that, had Jacob become unrighteous, he would have hated Jacob. You see? He says that in his word. If the righteous man falls away from doing what is right, all that righteousness that he accumulated throughout the years he was living according to my word, that means absolutely nothing. Because I'm looking at you and I'm judging you according to your current status. Whereas the unrighteous man, who for the majority of his life was living unrighteous, the moment he turns to me and grasps onto my covenant, except my son, guess what? All of that unrighteousness I cast into the sea of forgiveness. That's what he's teaching us. He is a just and a righteous and a fair mighty one whom we serve. So we want to keep these things in mind when it comes to the whole idea of judgment. When a brother come to you or a sister come to you and they're pointing something out to you that you may be in error of, don't condemn that person. Don't judge me. Only God can judge me. Well, guess what? Only judge is the Most High. But what you got to see, maybe he's using that person to do his will. And that's what we don't want to lose sight of. Okay? We're going to stop right here for tonight. And as I said, we're going to be on a hiatus throughout the festival season. And we will return on October 26th, I believe that is a Wednesday, with Jeremiah 1:10 once again. I have one of the brothers to close out for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah. Thank you for spending this time with us. Thank you for releasing your spirit and allowing the brothers to speak your word according to your word. We ask, Father, that whoever's listening, whoever has any misunderstandings or anything like that, that by your spirit, you clear them up.
Amen.
Continue to use us how you see fit. Continue to grow us how you see fit. Above all, Father, make us just more willing servants and better vessels for you, Father. We try our best to do what's pleasing in your eye, Father, so we just ask that you continue to be patient with us, continue to show us your love and kindness, and when we go to the right or to the left, Father, that you chastise us and bring us back onto your path. Wherever we're in error, correct us. Wherever we fall short, uphold us and uplift us, Father.
Amen.
In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm more than a conqueror.
matter what you take from me, God still gets glory from me. The kingdom suffering violence and the violence taking my form. So today we make a stand, 'cause we're not taking it.
More.